on KLYT. This is ABQ Connect.
Hey, thanks for joining us on ABQ Connect. Every Friday, we get our Friday financial update, typically the last segment of the show. And today is no exception, but it's also going to be the second and third segment of the show, along with the fourth segment of the show. And in studio with us, president of John Moore Associates, Brian Cochran. Brian, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, glad to be here on a beautiful sunny winter day.
Yeah. I'm kind of cool with, but man, this morning, the last couple of days when that wind kicks up, you can really, really feel it. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have the humidity level that would chill that to the bone with the wind. But yeah, thank you, Lord, for the beautiful day and opportunity to serve you in it. And Brian, we're going to talk a little bit about that, not only while we're at work, being able to serve the Lord, some of us in ministry, some of us serving right where we are in our office space, but retirement is going to be the main topic we cover today. Now, we've covered this before, but I love Paul's example throughout Scripture. He often repeats himself because the Spirit knows, we're kind of dumb sheep and we need to hear things more than once. Really looking forward to walking through this. What was your motivation for heading down this road today?
Yeah, so this topic we'll hit today of retirement is part of our recent blog posts. Andy Ferguson, our financial planner in Arizona, actually wrote the post, but I get to borrow the content today to keep us moving forward. But we work a lot with people preparing for retirement, transitioning to retirement, and then living through their retirement years. And I think what's worth talking about in this area is that there's some misconceptions of where do you find joy and purpose in those years? What should you be striving for when you're saving for retirement? What should you expect when you're approaching retirement? But also, what does God's word say about work and retirement? And we have sort of the culture's view of what retirement means, how it should look and work, how it should feel. And then maybe some missed expectations are faced when people actually make that transition.
Well, when we were setting this up and I was looking through the notes, one of the things that occurred to me is the thought that, why isn't, retirement as so empty feeling, maybe not as rewarding as I anticipated. And I thought, you could take that word retirement and replace it with life or, so many other things and apply a lot of these principles because, I haven't looked in detail where we're going in regards to retirement, but, essentially anything that we do, including retirement, if it's not done through a Christian worldview lens, it's just not going to have the reward and the fulfillment that things done outside of the plan of God.
Yeah, and I think that's the rub here is we've all been sort of indoctrinated and bombarded by images of retirement in the secular view. And really, it's a message sold by investment companies largely. When you see a commercial with two people, a husband and wife with gray hair and white linen top to bottom clothes, right. I don't know who dresses like that, but in the commercials they often do. They're walking down the beach holding hands or the elderly man laughing with his grandkids on the couch.
Yeah.
There's all these images we get of retirement and they're sort of
those are great images, by the way.
But the idea they sell is that if I work hard enough when I'm in my working years, quote unquote, and then save well enough and invest well enough, then I can stop working. And then guess what? I get to enjoy life. And
yeah.
It creates this unhealthy and unbiblical contrast between work, which is meant to represent pain and suffering and a grind, versus enjoying life and play, which is this idea of retirement being sort of the eternal vacation.
Yeah.
And that's not the way God designed us. God designed us for work and rest,
yeah.
Work and service through work. And when we start to you know, position work as the thing you do until you don't have to work, it creates this bad expectation that, well, once I'm done working, then I'll have all this joy and satisfaction in that eternal vacation. And then, as you kind of positioned at the beginning, what we actually hear from clients when they retire is oftentimes, for those who don't retire with good purpose, they feel lost. They feel unstructured. They feel a lack of purpose. And there's actually a lot of men in particular might pass away in the first few years of retirement because their body and their mind starts to give out. So our bodies are reacting to that reality that God designed us for work and service. So that's the question is that end point, stopping work to enjoy life and the eternal vacation, is that the finish line God designed for us?
Right. And he does have another plan. And, you know, I will say this, you know, a good time to start getting the right attitude about it, Brian, is, you know, often I'll say on a Monday, or maybe if I'm, you know, on the air over a weekend, here comes Monday, you know, and I treat it like, you know, like we're talking about. And I've caught myself speaking to the listener and going, you know what? I get it. You enjoy the weekend and maybe you're not feeling like you're ready to go back to work. You know, take a little time to think about what God does through your work to provide for you and your family and the places that you are generous to. And instead of it being a drudgery, maybe verbally take the time in your prayer to thank, Lord, thank you for the work that we have, to glorify you in it. We are Christians who, you know, we're not perfected yet, you know, and I believe sometimes the words might come before the feeling, because people say, I just don't feel like that. But if you're meditating on those things that would be honoring to him like that, like appreciating what he's doing for us, the feeling will eventually come along. While we work, maybe that's a good time to get in that mindset. Mm-hmm. So when we do get to the point where, hey man, it's time for the gold watch, you know, okay, thanks for the watch. What can I do now?
Right. And maybe more importantly than that, Steve, would be knowing ahead of time what's next.
Yeah.
When you
retire.
Right. Cause some people want to work until they're either unable to work or they've passed away. Others are forced. You know, we work with a lot of pilots, commercial pilots. Yeah. They have to get out of the cockpit of commercial airplanes at 65. It's not a choice. They're done. And it creates an identity crisis for them, by the way. But I think it's very disorienting to make that transition if you don't have what God asks for us, which is intention in our life. You know, do you view your work as just a job, or do you view it as a place of service, a place of meaning, you know? And if you think of it that way, and that's what you're trying to replace, not just how I spend my time, and then I need to have enough money to replace the financial benefits of work, but how do I replace my purpose? And some people do this really well, by the way. It's not universal that everybody struggles with this, Steve. I mean, some people, we work with many individuals who are just thriving in retirement, but the consistent factor there is they came out with purpose.
Yeah.
And they didn't view work as just like a necessary evil or just a paycheck. They viewed that as purpose, and then they found their next purpose. And the cliche in our industry is you don't retire from something, you retire to something. So it's not about what you're leaving, it's about where you're going.
Yeah. You know, as we move forward and look at the Bible's view of work and purpose, I love that you brought scripture with you. And I touched on already a little bit about, you know, how our the way we work and our heart towards the work we have can bring glory to God. There's some, you know, scripture that comes in when we come to the Bible's view of work and the purpose that you mentioned. Purpose, we have a purpose when we have a job, but and like you said, in the same way that we have planned financially for end of life. Not only plan financially, but to have that plan of what purpose will we, you know, what will identify us, you know, if we're not a pilot anymore, but now I'm prepared to do, you know, it could be volunteering to clean up at the church, or, you know, flying planes into remote locations for missions. You know, who knows what God has planned? But just that having that plan, just like we have a financial plan for retirement, to have a plan for what will we keep busy doing to bring glory to God, to continue to bring glory to God, like we did with our work. Did you want to share any of the scriptures that?
There's two verses. Well, in Genesis 2:15, that addresses sort of how work actually existed before the fall.
Yeah.
Like, you know, from the very beginning.
There were a lot of animals to name. Yeah. He had a lot of work.
That's at least a part-time job right there, you know. But then Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord and not for people. So we don't work for, you know, it's nice to get recognition from your coworkers, from your customers, from the people you serve. It's nice to get the paycheck. But we should work because the Lord, you know, we are accountable to the Lord in everything we do, and including our jobs. And I don't know if we're carrying that attitude or, like you said, just the gratitude for work, and really expanding that definition of work. You know, it's not just about this is my career, this is my income, and it can become my identity if I'm not careful, right?
Well, and work in your younger years, it's not just limited, is it, Brian, to your 9 to 5?
Exactly. So you've got mentorship, your volunteerism, caregiving of family members, friends. I know a lot of people, boy, they spend a lot of their life in caregiving roles. Church service, community leadership, these are all things that could fall into that category of work. They're ways you serve others. And whether there's compensation or titles or, you know, a 401k attached to it, it's still work. And so to really think of our identity differently is what we're talking about here, Steve, which is, you know, that's not our value. Our value isn't our job title or promotions or the prestige. It's so easy to fall into that trap, especially at the end of your career when you're approaching retirement. You know, I've now built an identity and look at how far I've come. And then, so it's more about faithfulness than having like an actual 9 to 5. And so what many retirees discover is just, instead of that burden of stepping away from all their identity, they can actually instead trade that for a renewed joy when they now have independence and freedom to go explore other forms of service and work rather than that eternal vacation idea.
Yeah, I want to key on identity because tell me how you feel about this. I mean, my identity, you know, now is I'm a Christian, a banker.
Right.
Okay. And then that career is done. They've said adios, you know, for whatever reason, it's time for quote unquote retirement. Okay. Well, now I'm a Christian banking consultant, or I'm a Christian who serves in this area of volunteer work, or, you know, I'm a Christian who purposes to raise money for this ministry, you know, but the identity is in Christ first. And then, you know, like you said, it's going to change eventually your identity, but your primary identity is in Christ.
Yeah. And that's, like I mentioned, those Southwest pilots that we serve, a lot of airline pilots, they get to 65 and they've worked their way up to the top of their profession. And then they lose that. Well, like you said, if that was their identity, it's being taken away whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
And that can happen to all of us. A head injury. If you're a surgeon, you get a hand injury. You know, like there's a lot of things that can take you away from that identity that are outside your control. But that identity in Christ, the person who you really are, you know, and what you're really building your life around, if that can be stable, then you can change careers. You could retire and come back. And we work with a lot of people who do that. They retire and they kind of fail retirement, we jokingly say, and they come back to work somewhere else, you know. But I think that's key, is it's perspective here. What we're not talking about different behavior. We're not saying you don't ever stop your career and move into a different phase of life. We're saying that you don't perceive work as a burden or as an identity. You perceive it as a way to serve through your identity of, you know, being a follower of Christ, as you said, Steve. And then the transition to retirement, quote unquote, this new chapter of your life.
Right.
The founder of our company, John Moore, likes to call it rehirement, because he's as busy as ever. He's rehired into all these other amazing opportunities. So it's really about starting to shift our perspective away from that worldly view of the eternal vacation and into the biblical view, which is we are here to serve one another, in the name of God, to his glory, not to our own.
Amen. Well, listen, if you just tuned in, we're visiting with Brian Cochran, president of John Moore Associates, johnmoore.com. Some of what we're talking about, you know, if you go to, whether it's the new content, Brian, that you mentioned some of your staff has worked on the Insights tab, there, it's a searchable database or searchable archive. Just search retirement. And you know, you'll find a variety of different things that aren't maybe spot on the content we're talking about today. But it's a resource that's available to you at no cost. JohnMoore.com, the Insights tab. We're going to press on with our conversation with Brian when we come back from the break on ABQ Connect. All right, if you just joined us, Brian Cochran is in studio with us for our Friday Financial Update. Really enjoying this conversation, Brian. You want to recap what we covered in the first segment before we move on with our discussion on retirement?
Absolutely. So we talked about that contrast between the biblical view of work, which is that work is a good thing that we do to the glory of God, versus the sort of modern
drudgery.
Yeah, the U.S. culture view of work, which is something you do until you just don't have to anymore.
Yeah.
You know, that it's a burden, that it's a grind, and you work, and then hopefully if you work hard enough and save enough, then you can have that eternal vacation that is retirement. And not only is that not very practical for a lot of people, it's also unfulfilling and unbiblical. So what we want to talk about now is, you know, what are some mindset changes and some practices and principles that could help you actually thrive in retirement and enjoy it. And I'll say some of this comes from scripture, some of it comes from our experience serving hundreds of families, many of whom we've coached through retirement. And what I always tell couples when we work with them is, hey, this is your one and only time you may retire. Some do fail and come back and have to retire a second time because they end up finding something else to do for work. But, you know, I've done this hundreds of times.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's an opportunity where some experience here can go a long way.
So, you know, and we'll get into it, Brian, but here's a question that comes to mind. You know, when someone's done with their, you know, work, they got the gold watch, you know, whatever, however we want to say that from the world's perspective. And, you know, the whole thought, you know, of just going to put my feet up, I'm going to learn the midday schedule on TV and, you know, and let's say someone, you know, at that time, financially sound, they can continue to give, they can continue to support themselves and their family. But even in that point, I mean, not to say this is what they would do, but okay. I mean, even if they, you know, went down and they have, you know, maybe they're coming from an executive level, you know, but even if instead of putting your feet up and learning the midday schedule on TV, you went down to be a greeter at Walmart, you know, now there's an argument probably there for, well, if you retire from a high executive level, you probably have more resources to give to the community than doing that. But even so, isn't that better than just, yeah, I'm just going to sit here and get fatter?
Yeah. I would say whatever you can find that you can do that's fulfilling to you and serves others, that's what's going to make the difference.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be full time. I think that's one thing people forget. I'm not telling you quit your career and go get a different job. I'm saying find something that's fulfilling. I think of one of our clients that, you know, volunteers his time. He's a great auto mechanic. And when he left his employment, he now fixes cars for people of low income who can't afford to go to the average, you know, car shop, which is exceptionally expensive these days, it seems. And he changes their oil and rotates their tires. And he does all this stuff that, you know, is just really helpful for them to relieve that financial pressure. And it's work. I mean, he's working. His hands are tired at the end of the day. His body's tired. But he loves it. He loves what he's doing because he knows he's in service to somebody and he's not getting compensation because he worked long enough to be financially independent. So he's chosen to spend his time in that. And he doesn't do it 40 hours a week.
Right.
You know, and there's a million examples like that, but
here's a question. Maybe you'll connect it to scripture. is there health? Is there a healthy reason to have a routine?
Yeah, I think routine to the extent that it has purpose. You could have a routine that is 100% self-centered. Mm. And that goes back to that. It's all about me, eternal vacation. And we are meant to be in service in our community. You know, and our community could be just our neighbors. It could be our church. It could be our city. It could be global. But I think if your routine is I get up and I stretch and I exercise and I go play golf and then I go get a massage and then I go out to lunch and then I come home and I watch a movie that I enjoy, you know, if that's your routine, that can work really well for that first month or two of retirement because yeah. you've been working so hard, you feel like you deserve that. And maybe you've had an imbalance during your working years where you didn't rest enough. So you're trying to catch up on that. But I'll tell you, one of our employees did that. He retired after 32 years at a major retailer, and he ended up coming back to us. He's one of our most financially astute clients. And he came back after a few months, said, okay, my honey-do list is done. He's a Midwest boy, so he's got a huge work ethic. So he did all of his stuff. And he said, if I work for you, can we make it flexible so I can still travel like I wanted to in retirement? I said, sure. And he's had a fabulous second career with us in amazing service to the families that he's working with.
Yeah.
And he lived it out. He tried the eternal vacation and it didn't even last a year.
Yeah.
Because it's not fulfilling. It does not satisfy like the commercials make it sound like it will. That doesn't mean you shouldn't golf in your retirement years. It doesn't mean you shouldn't have an extra vacation or two that you didn't have during your working years.
But maybe that, don't make that your retirement career.
Yeah.
Unless maybe you found a golf ministry that, I mean, you know, something that, like you said, that's giving back to the community that isn't self-centered, that's God-centered. And, you know, you've prepared a lot of great content. I want to kind of get back on track and looking at, you know, you mentioned contentment as a lifelong discipline, and you connected some great scripture with that. Do you want to share?
Yeah. That's actually a good segue, Steve, because this is part of what we're talking about here is people, they want something more. They want more rest, more recreation, more enjoyment. And it doesn't satisfy because we're designed to be content. We're happiest when we seek contentment. And contentment doesn't mean you can't be happy with what you have and then still seek more, but it means that you start with being happy with what you have.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things people mistake is they have this drive to retire because they're discontent. They think they deserve more recreation. They think they deserve more or want more, you know, vacations and, you know, hobbies and all this, and they're discontent with their workplace. But if you can start from a place of contentment, saying, God, I have enough in my life. The rest I have is enough. The recreation I have is enough. And it's a learned behavior. Philippians 4:11, you know, Paul says, I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. And he's saying that probably from a jail being, you know, strapped to a Roman guard.
Right.
And he's content? Like, are you serious? Like, if he can figure that out in those circumstances, you know, what are we complaining about? And then 1 Timothy says, godliness with contentment is great gain. So we know there's a promise here from Scripture that says, hey, seek contentment. That's where the real joy comes from. But the modern retirement is you better make sure you save enough so you always have enough to do everything you want, everything your neighbors are doing, everything your brother's doing, because he's retired and he's living it up. And then you become fearful that if you don't invest properly, if you don't save enough, if you're not chasing the pleasure, that you're missing out. And it creates this anxiety around retirement that should be a time of freedom to serve as you wish. So what Scripture calls us for is just to trust God's provision. It doesn't mean we just retire with nothing, but it does mean that he's going to provide us the purpose, the resources, and the leisure that's appropriate for us, not that we needed to shut our lives down and go, again, I keep using the same term, chase the eternal vacation that is promised through the commercials.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of, I don't know how important it is, I think it's probably obvious. You and I are talking about first world retirement. I mean, you know, a lot of the world, it's not just the United States that has this, what you just described.
It's a Western principle.
And I will tell you, and I said earlier, sometimes the words come before the feeling, but I will tell you, I want to give an example. It doesn't really apply to retirement, but it does apply to mindset. And you know, through my radio career, as we were working on things, and listen, we do our very best to have what we have scheduled to be on the air, on the air. And over the years, you know, it's been like, ah, something happened, and ah, high heart rate, high blood pressure, get it fixed. And we do purpose to do that. But just this week, we were doing a software update, and it impacted what we were in the middle of a show on, I'll tell you, on Wednesday morning, and some of our listeners may remember when this happened. The show stopped because of what we were working on, and it went to music to fill for the rest of the hour until we got back on track with our programming through our automation. And in the past, this would have been a high anxiety, high, you know, and I'm going to tell you, I have practiced. Now, I didn't want that to happen. I wanted the show to continue, and we do our best to be professional and do that. I don't want to give the wrong thing, like, you know, man, it's all good. but in that moment, there was three of us working on it, and I said, guys, you know, that's a bummer that happened. But you know what? This is a first world problem. And how I want to apply it to our conversation is, you know, I worked hard. I saved so I could get, and it's not to say you can't go get that car or that house or that, but not being able to get it, I'm sorry, that's a first world problem. And there's so many, speaking of contentment, thank you, Lord, that I have a car that I don't need to walk 2 miles a day to go get water, you know. Perspective, I think, has a lot to do with contentment. And I think it's important that we remind ourselves in these situations, you know, we might have a plan, but is it God's plan?
Yeah, and that's what we're trying to seek here, right? Is God's will is what's going to make us thrive. And God's will is not that we just quit and hang out and enjoy ourselves for 20 years. You know, I think, as you said, this is not only just a Western perspective, it's a new perspective. 100 years ago, you know, retirement didn't really exist.
Yeah.
You know, it was really the advent of Social Security and the industrial age. And before that, people worked until they died.
Yeah.
Because that's how you provided for your needs. And then when you couldn't work, you lived with family and they took care of you. And so it's a whole different shift. And really thinking more about retirement, not as a retreat, like a runaway from work, but redirection. I'm redirecting my efforts. I'm redirecting my purpose. I'm redirecting how and where and when I serve. And what's beautiful about this is as we get older in our 50s, 60s, 70s, the ages that people might retire, we do have a lot of things that help us with this, right? Like trying to figure out how to redirect would be really hard in your 20s with a lack of life experience. But when you're in your 60s or 70s, hopefully you've gained some wisdom. You know, wisdom is knowledge of things that don't change, you know? So you've got some experience. You've got more time. These are all resources God's given you now. And you have to learn how to steward those resources on top of the retirement savings you may have accumulated. But I think it's in many cases, and this can sound judgmental, I think it's a poor stewardship of those resources to just shut down and seek that eternal vacation. And I think God is happy with us when we find ways to apply those resources, those relationships, and whether it's on a board or in a volunteer role or serving the next generation of your family. I mean, there's so much value in all of those things and joy to be found. And I think that's the part people miss. When you shut down and go for that eternal vacation, you're missing the opportunity for the joy that comes, the satisfaction, the pleasure that comes from service. And we don't think about that when we're working because we have such a poopy pants attitude about work in our culture. Yeah. But there is joy. Like when I have a long work day and I come home and I know I did good work for people, I feel satisfied. I'm tired, but I'm satisfied. And that's a good feeling to seek as opposed to maybe I got one stroke off my 18 holes in golf today because I've been playing nonstop because I'm retired and seeking that leisure. So it's a perspective shift is what we're talking about here.
Yeah, amen. Well, listen, if you just joined us, we're visiting with Brian Cochran, president of John Moore Associates, Friday Financial Update. And it's typically the final segment of the show on Fridays, but usually once a month we try to get a full hour or most of an hour in. But we are going to get our Friday Financial Update as the final segment as we continue our conversation when we come back from the break. on ABQ Connect. Hey, thanks for joining us. Topic, for the most part, during our conversation with Brian Cochran from John Moore Associates today is retirement. And, you know, part of what we've talked about is finding a place, you know, after you're done at your 9-to-5 that you've done for your career, and you're looking for a place to plug in. And part of what we've talked about is opportunity to volunteer. And, you know, for someone who hasn't really thought about that, that, you know, that can be a little overwhelming. Well, where would I volunteer? I want to, there's all kinds of places, but I do want to let you know of a resource. And we actually continue to grow this resource on our webpage at klyt.fm. At the top of the page is organizations. And if you go through that, you'll see a lot of familiar organizations, and some of them are national, but a lot of them are local, including Beds for Kids or Child Evangelism. Child Evangelism Network is doing essentially VBS in the public schools. I mean, and they need volunteers. I mean, how much more investing in eternity can that be than sharing the love of Christ with the next generation? But there's all kinds. Johnny and Friends New Mexico, sharing Christ with families impacted by disability. There's a ton. I could go through them, but there's all kinds of places there. And if you click on those on our website at klyt.fm under organizations, you can read up on all of these organizations and see if there's one that's a good fit for you. And you don't need to wait till retirement to do it.
No. And it could just be expanding the service you're already doing.
Yeah.
But so really the question that brings is not, when can I stop working, which is what most people ask us when they come in to do financial planning. It's how can I best serve God in this next chapter?
Right.
You know, my career as I know it is winding down for, you know, reasons in my control or outside my control, but how do I serve? And so the key here is to look for balance. You know, rest is good. Recreation is good. God tells us that in Scripture. We're supposed to rest. We actually don't thrive if we don't rest.
Right.
But it can't be all that. So you need to have some enjoyment and some good margin for that. But you don't want to make yourself irrelevant either. You know, you still want to be in service to your neighbor. And so, you know, God's calling is going to continue. Like, the question is, what is it? It's changing. It says, John Moore said, rehirement, not retirement. Like, yeah. What's the new gig? And if you're seeking purpose that's aligned with your faith, with your true purpose, your true calling, like this list of organizations you're showing right now, I can see on your screen, and you mentioned a few of them, you know, what makes your heart hurt in that list? You know, what would make you cry? What makes, when you read things on the news, what makes you angry, frustrated, sad? You know, what, that's God maybe prompting you through your emotions to address those issues. And now maybe you have the freedom and the margin to do that. That doesn't mean you can't go to Italy with your spouse. It doesn't mean you can't go see the grandkids across the country and spend a week with them. But make time for that balance of rest and service, and it will be a much more fulfilling view of retirement that you can be motivated toward. So if you're still saving for retirement, that's a much more motivational path than just the eternal vacation. If you're in retirement, this is something you can work on and add to. And if you're not even started in saving for retirement, this is something that could get you kind of revved up to get going. It's like, okay, I don't want to have to do what I'm doing now, for I want the freedom to serve God in other ways. So that's where financial planning comes in, is it's really about choosing how you allocate your resources during your working years and beyond so that you can follow God's calling. If God's calling you for missions, that may change the car you buy during your working years, because the debt associated with that's holding you back from saving for retirement or, you know, having the financial freedom to go pursue missions. If God's calling on you to spend more time with family, okay, well, are you making decisions that align with that priority in your life? Yes or no? And again, no judgment coming from me on that. God's got a different calling for all of us. And if God's calling you to continue serving in the work you're doing today, don't take the world's view of retirement. Say, well, I'm 65. I better start thinking about retirement now. Hey, if your mind and your body allow you to keep serving, find a way to do that. I've got one client, he works at the base, and he's a nuclear expert, and they call him the Godfather because he's an older guy and in his 70s now, and he still gets paid very well to basically be at home and ready to take emails and phone calls from people in that agency, because he knows a lot.
Yeah.
If he had just hung it up, the value he's added over the last several years, he's well beyond traditional retirement age. And there's no financial reason for him to still be serving in this capacity. But he has purpose and he has meaning. And guess what? He still does his side hustle with other stuff he likes to do. He still has service. And he still has financial security. He's doing it all.
Yeah.
Because that was his vision. He always knew he wanted that. And he's not quitting just because he could.
Well, you know, when it comes to aging, and I don't know if there's a biblical principle we can attach to this, but mom always told me, use it or lose it, you know? And that could be physical, mental, opportunities. I do think that there's great opportunity for us as we age to continue to be servants of the God Most High. We are called, and I think this is more related to salvation, but to examine ourselves to see if we be in the faith, right? But I think you can apply the principle, examine ourselves to see if we are in His will, if we are in, we have a faith in a God that has things that He expects from us. Brian, we got about 2 minutes.
Make a couple book recommendations if I could.
Very good.
These are two books that I think just really lay out some of the principles we've talked about. The first one is by a guy named David Bahnsen, and the book is called, very simply, Full Time. And the idea of his book is to change the way we think about work to align better with the biblical view of work, but also what we know for human thriving. And David's actually in the same industry as me. He's a finance guy, but also a biblical scholar. And it's such a good read on this topic. And here's the key I would say about that book is it's really good for a young person just getting into their careers and developing their perspective on work and purpose and service. But it's also great for someone thinking about retirement because it talks a lot about what that could look like as well. And it really leans on what God says about those topics.
And that book is?
Full Time.
Full Time, okay.
By David Bahnsen. The second one is by a guy named Mitch Anthony. This one's a little harder to find sometimes, but the book is called The New Retirementality. The New Retirementality by Mitch Anthony. Really good book. We keep this one stocked in our office, actually. And it talks about kind of, as we've done, contrasting the worldly view, the U.S. view of retirement versus what it means to actually thrive. And he does a really good job. One of my favorite principles he talks about is break up your 7-day week in retirement into 3-4-hour segments per day, kind of your waking active hours.
Uh-huh.
Learn how to fill that up first before you think about retirement so you can find that purpose, you can find that balance. So two good reads, New Retirementality by Mitch Anthony and Full Time by David Bahnsen, both great on this topic.
Okay, and I know we have at least about a minute. I want to back up a little bit. We skipped over some scriptures would have been covered in some of the stuff we talked about. In regards to stewardship perspective, I want to read this from Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 42. And the Lord said, "Who then is faithful and wise manager whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time?" Let me press on through 40. Well, read through 48 there. But great scriptures about stewardship. But the other one was Psalm 92:14. Actually, I didn't have as much time as I thought to get through that. But Brian, appreciate your time. Watch for this archived at ABQ Connect and go to Insights tab at johnmoore.com. Brian, let's do this again on a Friday.
Sounds good.
All right. Thank you for listening to ABQ Connect.
ABQ Connect is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KLYT.